I don't know. Yeah, it's not moving.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, if you would, take your Bibles and please look at John chapter 17. Hopefully a very familiar piece of scripture. If it's not, it should be. I want to read the first five verses. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, this is commonly known as Christ Jesus' high priestly prayer. Now, I want to be very clear about this. As this is a prayer, it is not addressed to us. It's addressed to the Father. He is speaking to the Father here. Now, parts of this prayer do concern us and are about us. He prays to the Father about his people in this prayer. Christ told us, pray to the Father. Pray on this wise, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, you're not supposed to say, repeat after me, because he goes on right after what is called the Lord's Prayer, and it says, there are people who think they're heard for much speaking. But that's who the prayer is addressed to, the Father above. That's who our Lord's Prayer was addressed to. And he is our example. Now, that all being said, everything in this prayer is here for our edification, for our education, and for our learning. Otherwise, John wouldn't have recorded it here. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have had John record this here. It is here for us. It's not addressed to us, but it is here for us. We are to believe these words. We are to learn them. We are to study them. And we are to repeat these words to each other. That's why we're assembled here, to proclaim the word of the Lord to us and for us. Now, he starts with this statement, he's speaking to the Father. He says, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. Now, this hour that he's talking about has been coming since before the foundation of the world. This is an explicit purpose of God concerning the Son. This hour. Now, there are many hours spoken of in the gospel. He told his mother in John 2, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. That had to do with making water into wine, doing a miracle. He did it anyway. In John 5 and verse 25, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That hour is coming, and that hour is come. Why? There were some that were hearing the voice of the Son of God on this earth at that time, and they lived. And the hour is coming because there are more who are going to hear the words, the voice, not the words, the voice. They'll hear the words, but they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God. What is that word? Live. I came upon thee when thou wert polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, live. That voice speaks, live, and that soul that it's speaking to, that he is speaking to, shall live. So that hour's come. It's coming, and it is come. Then a couple verses after that, verse 28 of John 5 says, marvel not at this, for the hour's coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That hadn't happened yet. That hour's still coming. So there's different hours that he's spoken. But there was a few times when people tried to kill him, and he said he walked right out of the midst. Why? His time hadn't come. His time had not come. But this hour, right here, right now, it says this hour has come. Turn back, if you would, to John chapter 13. Now, if you look at this, John chapter 13 to about John chapter 18 is all one night. This is all the Passover. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now, what is this hour? That he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This is the hour that Christ is speaking of here. The hour has come. The hour has come. What did he say next? Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Well, look, stay in John 13 for just a moment. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. He's saying it already happened. These are in the past tense. And yet, when you come to verse 1, he says it again. He's praying to the Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. This hour that is come is the hour of glorifying God. Christ had just spoke of this to the disciples at the Last Supper there in verse 31 and 32 of chapter 13. And this word here, glorify, in John 17, is active and imperative. It's going to happen. And it's happened. This is an action of God. This is an action of the Son. This is the work of God, and this is the work of the Son. This word glorify is a verb. It's an action. It means to praise, to honor, to extol, to glorify, to give exceeding praise. John 16, verse 12 to 15. We'll find the Spirit. The Holy Spirit also glorifies the Son. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Christ speaking to his disciples. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he, this is still the Comforter, Christ speaking of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. How is the Spirit to glorify the Son? He's going to take the things of Christ and show them to you. The Holy Spirit of God reveals unto men just a taste, because that's all we can handle, of how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is. Every word we have in here is true, but we don't understand every word that's in here. And every word about our Lord Jesus Christ, every word spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ is glorious, was honoring to the Father, is honoring to the Father, and was perfectly in the will of the Father. Now, those are the words we like, and those are the words we don't like. But this word here that we have been given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here for the glory of God. Which one catechism is it? The Westminster Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God. That's the chief end of man. But here we have the Son telling the Father to glorify him, and I will glorify you. What do we have here in John 7? We have God glorifying God. Chapter 16, the Holy Spirit. We have God glorifying God. God stated plainly in the Old Testament, he will not give his glory to another. It's not going to happen. And God does not change. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 48 and verse 11, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. God does his work for his sake. We benefit. His people benefit from his work, but he's doing it for his sake, for his holy name's sake, for his glory. Why? Because he deserves all the glory. Every bit of it. He deserves all the credit. You'll find in this book statements that there is no boasting. There is to be no boasting, put it that way. Because there are people out there who boast about what they've done for the Lord. No, if you did anything for the Lord, it's because he put in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he did it for his own glory. And he did it for his name's sake. And he did it if it is for his glory. For mine own name's sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. He will not give his glory unto another. And he will glorify his Son. And has glorified his Son. How is that possible? I Christ said it, I and my Father are one. The only reason Jesus Christ could ask the Father to glorify Him, Himself, is if He is God. Because His glory He will not give to another. Now there are people all around, they think Jesus is a wonderful teacher. They won't do what He says. They won't listen to what He teaches. They hate His words, but they'll say He's a good teacher. That's the part that Nicodemus brought up. He says, we know you're a teacher come from God, because no man could do these things, you know, unless God be with him. But at that time, Nicodemus said that, he wasn't doing what Christ said. He wasn't believing what Christ taught. There's all kind of people out there giving lip service, but their hearts are far from God. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's what we call the triune God, the Holy Trinity. God. Jesus Christ is God, and just thereby, by definition, is deserving of all the glory that there is. And He could perfectly and in the will of the Father pray to the Father, glorify thy Son. And then state that thy Son may glorify thee. This is the way it is. To God be the glory. How much? All of it. All of it. All of it. This earth we stand on is His handiwork. This life we now live is His handiwork. The life that we have in Christ is the work of God. The faith that we have is the faith of God's elect, and Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of faith. Who gets the glory in those statements? Who gets the credit? Who is to be praised? The Son and the Father. And the Spirit. God is to be praised. God is to be honored. And God is given all the glory. Why? Because we don't have any glory. What was our part in all of this? What's the next statement says? As thou hast given him power over all flesh, what? That he should give eternal life. What part did we have in that? Ooh. We were the ungodly. We were without strength. We were dead in trespasses and sin. At this time, we weren't even born. Our parents weren't even born. Nobody we know has been born. But Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He came and saved sinners. They said, call his name Jesus, is what they told Joseph. The angels did. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He's getting all the glory, folks, because it's his. The glory is his. And I do like how he goes from that to where it says, and thou hast given him power over all flesh. Living flesh, dead flesh, animal flesh, man flesh. Doesn't matter if it's flesh. He has power over it. How much power? All of it. All of it. Jesus Christ is God. Manifest in the flesh. He is God. He is the very image of the invisible God made visible. And people talk about that like it's just an everyday thing, Mason. They talk about it, Paul, like it's nothing. No. That took one of the greatest workings of God this world has ever seen. For God, incarnate God, who had glory, which I had with thee before the world was. He was the voice that spoke this world into being. And yet that voice condescended, came down, and took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and condemned sin in the flesh. That was a glorious thing that happened. And we go out and buy Christmas presents. Oh, there's a war on Christmas in this country. Yeah, Santa Claus won. Watch your television, see what happens. The glory of the Lord is forever, and it is His glory. But He says He has power over all flesh. We believers in Him, we live, we move, and we have our being. By Him, all things consist. That's it. That's flesh too. He's got power over all flesh. By Him, all things consist, including us. We exist by Him. Not just in Him, by Him. But He has power over all flesh. And here's a purpose. That. Little word, big meaning. That. There's a reason He was given power over all flesh. There's a reason He has power over all flesh. That. He should give eternal life. What did I say earlier? The hour's coming, and now is, when those that are dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He gives eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. There is no earning. All the glory for giving eternal life goes to the Son. Goes to the Father, goes to the Spirit. All glory goes to God, but especially the glory of the saving of His people. This is why Christ came. And then He says it, and these are the words of Christ. They're not my words. To as many as Thou, the Father, has given Him. Has given Him. Again, past tense. This happened before the world began. Now, I know the explanations. Well, the Father gave to the Son. And yes, I'm doing a funny voice because I'm making fun of someone. The Father gave to the Son all that He saw would believe on Him. All that He saw would come to Him. All that you will not come to Me that you might have eternal life. The natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. Cannot. He cannot and He will not. And He gives eternal life. This is not life to all. This life, eternal life, was never promised to all. This eternal life was never made possible to all. this eternal life was never made available to all. That's the new word they like. It's available, you just got to go get it. If I could go get it, I'd be alive. But I'm dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people don't do nothing. That's the illustration. And it's not my illustration. That's what the scriptures say. What do dead people do? They lay there. No, no. You need to hear the voice of the Son of God. And you need to hear Him say, live. And guess what? You'll live. Why? Because He gives eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. Coming up here, I was listening to Bruce Crabtree, and he quoted this, and it just kind of hit me, and it works out perfectly for this, if I can find it. John 6 and verse 37, I wanted to read it so I don't mess it up. All that the Father giveth me, what? Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It just hit me while he was preaching there. See, here we have all the Father giveth me. They're going to come. But then it goes from a group to an individual. Him. Whoa. Each and every single one of this all will come to Him, but you come individually. You will come into, all are going to come and all are going to be saved, but Him's coming by Himself. I can't bring anybody with me, and can't nobody else bring me with them. But him that cometh, what does it say? I will in no wise cast out. You know what that is? That is eternal life. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those that are given eternal life are the same ones that have been made alive by His voice. Because if the Son speaks to you, you will live. He spoke to Saul of Tarsus on the road. Yeah. They heard the sound, but they didn't hear the voice of Him that spoke to me. That's the way Saul of Tarsus put it. They heard the voice, they heard a sound, but they didn't hear the voice that spoke to me. The speaking of the Son to His people is done individually. And He gets all the glory for it. The Son speaks to you, you'll live. If the Son does not speak to you, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. That's just the way it is. Both the Father and the Son quicken whom He will. And nobody else. He told Moses, and He ain't never changed, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. This life, this eternal life, is real, and it is given by God to every single individual in His proper purposed time. This has been purposed from before the foundation of the world. Excuse me. But this is going to happen in time for every single one who has been chosen by God before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. It takes a miracle of grace, a miracle of life from God, the power of God to even know God. Ye must be born from above, born again. What? To see the kingdom. And guess what? If you don't see the king, you're not going to see the king. Ye must be born from above to see the king. You must be born of the water and the spirit to enter. But you got to be born from above to see. I said it a little bit earlier. I mean, this world thinks, oh, everybody knows Jesus. No, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't. They know a Jesus. They know their Jesus. But Mason, like I said, they don't know the Jesus of this Bible. You know, they don't know the one that's praying to the Father here. When he comes down, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. They don't want to know that. And if you read it to them, they don't believe it. Won't have it. Knowledge of God is exactly that. It's knowledge of God. It's of God. It's from God. It's a gift to you to know the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And the only ones who do know are those to whom the Son has revealed himself. Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Christ said. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus has glorified the Father on the earth. Everything he did fulfilled and was done perfectly according to the will of the Father. And that just goes as much as, like I said last week, the calling little children together, to suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, as when he went and he platted that whip and went in to the temple and kicked over the money changers' tables and whipped that whip around, saying, you've took my Father's house and made it a den of iniquity. When he told them, woe unto you Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites, ye generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes. That was according to the will of the Father. Perfectly in accord. He finished the work the Father gave him to do on this earth. His work's not over, but what he had to do on this earth is done. This is the hour. Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Glory is nothing new to the Son of God. He was with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And guess what? Right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high in glory. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue's going to confess this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. What? To the glory of God the Father. We do it here and now. There are others just going to do it later. But every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. This is the hour. Let me look here. Yep. John chapter 18, verse 36. This is Jesus speaking to Pilate. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now notice very carefully, no matter what anyone says, he's already got a kingdom. It's my kingdom. It's not from hence, but it's my kingdom. Okay? That's free. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Here's the point. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. I ain't worried about what Pilate said next, because that ain't important. That's just the view of the world, and that world hasn't changed. What is truth? Well, if you got to ask that question, you don't know. You don't know. And I can't help you. I can't help you. Because if you know the truth, you will glorify God. You will glorify the Son. For this cause, to this end, I came into this world to die and to purchase my people, to be condemned, to be forsaken of God. And he's given power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God glorifies God. And we are to glorify God. We are to praise him, extol him, exalt him. Give him all the credit for all the work that he has done. The Father glorifies the Son glorifies the Father, and the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. And we are to give glory to God, praise his holy name, for he came into the world for this cause. He came to save his people from their sin. And he did. It's done. Redemption is complete. We say it, I'll say it, said it before. You can't preach God high enough, and you can't preach man low enough. And I mean that sincerely. You can't preach man dead enough. And the more you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the more you will give all the glory to God. You will learn. And the learning will be reinforced. Because to him be the glory, now and forever. Both now and forever. Amen. It's his glory. It's all his. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But Lord, thank you most of all for your Son, your glorious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord, for all you do and all you're doing and all you have done. In his name we pray. Amen.